CMO Roundtable,
the podcast where we talk to CMOs and marketing professionals to find out what's working, what isn't, and how you can leverage their expertise to improve your marketing and conversions. Now, let's welcome our host, number one best-selling author and co-founder of Conversion Fanatics, Justin Christensen.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is your host of the CMO Roundtable, Justin Christensen. And today we've got a fantastic guest, and I've actually was fortunate enough to meet him officially just a few weeks ago from recording this here in Austin, and had some great chats with him. But our guest today is a husband, a dad, a serial entrepreneur, angel investor. He helps business owners connect the dots, see the blind spots, and get unstuck by helping them amplify and implement unique sales, marketing, and hiring systems so they can get bigger impact, reach, and contribution. He has over 25 years of business experience. He's coached well over 5,000 business owners from over 180 different niche industries, 9 different countries, and had clients and partners such as Joe Polish, Dean Graziosi, Genius Network, and more. He's a regular media contributor, host of his own radio show, and been a guest featured in multiple TV, radio, print, online publications. We can go on and on. He's recently rated as one of the top 25 influencers by Influenceive, and we're happy to have him on the show. So, Dan Cashel, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, brother. Great to be with you today, Justin.
Yeah, I really, really appreciate it. So, you got a pretty much a book by your bio in and of itself on all the awesome things you've done. But could you just kind of give a little backstory on what brought you into really where you are in coaching and the systems and things like that and the need there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different approaches to take. I would say that, you know, my dream as a kid, Justin, was to play pro baseball. It didn't quite work out. I had a bunch of injuries and maybe just flat out wasn't good enough, truth be told. But coaching has always been a foundation of my life since, you know, I was 4 years old. And so my sister, while I was in college playing baseball, because I played college baseball, semi-pro ball, and coached a college summer all-star team. And while I was in college, my sister introduced me to a company that worked, this is all pre-internet, this is back in the late 80s, to a company that did direct mail. And I got so darn fascinated, Justin, with the idea. I guess in your language, it would be I became a conversion fanatic, because what happened for me was how you could take print, put it in the mail, and then people would respond and they would pay you money. Sight unseen was just so fascinating to me as a late teenager. And I learned about direct mail. I learned more about TV advertising. I learned about radio advertising and doing direct response. And that, you know, led me down a path that I started my very first company in 1992, helping health club owners, you know, get more clients essentially, and, you know, generate more referrals and generate better retention. And providing that service all the way back then, and then fast forward to today, as you mentioned, you know, it sounds great. You know, 11 plus companies. Well, what that means is, yeah, there's been a few successes along the way. I had to bury, I think, 3 of the companies in the backyard, if you know what I mean.
Yep, I've been there.
But I love being able to help business owners implement, because there just seems to be so much confusion, so much complexity today. And what I feel that I love doing is simplifying and helping business owners get that little hinge that swings a big door so that they can implement. And we work side by side or direct with a lot of clients where we help them do that to grow and scale their business.
I love you mentioned the big door swing on small hinges, the W. Clement Stone. Yes. That's one of my all-time favorite quotes. In fact, I put it in my book and I use it in almost every one of my presentations.
That's awesome. I was reading your mind.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the ways that businesses, let me back up. So what are some of the things that business owners, we're in the trenches every day. We're, you know, pounding the quote unquote pavement, trying to grow our businesses. So what are some of those small hinges that people can really focus on to get more impact?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is unlearning can become more important than learning. I forget who I first heard that from. I think it was either Dan Sullivan or Joe Polish. Unlearning is more important than learning. And so it's unlearning some of the habits, rituals, patterns, and things that we look to do. For example, I think I heard this from Gary Halbert, which is there's no correlation between being good and getting paid, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, because I was always fascinated, maybe like you, Justin, where I saw these people with great talent, and then they'd go out and offer their product or services, and they'd hit crickets.
Yep.
They actually couldn't even hit a cricket. It was so quiet, right? And I felt like that myself, you know, struggling with, you know, getting clients or, you know, having a compelling message or, you know, being able to move people to take action to do what we want them to do. And so part of this is realizing there is no correlation between being good and getting paid. And what matters is, you know, our messaging. And you know, like if you take a $1 bill, if you could, as you're listening right now, if you can imagine a $1 bill and a $100 bill side by side, right? Now, if you put them on top of each other, here's something interesting. Aren't they both the same size? And if you hold them in your hand, they're about the same weight, right? And what color ink are both of them? The same exact color. The only difference between a $1 bill and a $100 bill is what? It's the message on the paper. When we become better storytellers, when we become better at our message, what happens is we can get more for the same product or the same service, and we can provide more value. So that was a key distinction that I learned, I think, in the early 90s, which was really, really critical. The other one is if you really believe in that mindset of value creation, that it is the messaging. Then the other part is how can you go out and create an irresistible offer? Now, thankfully, my early start, I learned a lot of it, not because I read or, you know, had all these, you know, direct coaches. A lot of it was serendipitous, Justin. A lot of it was just really paying attention closely to what was going on around me when I worked in this direct mail company. I mean, I was just, you know, I've always had this obsession with learning things that I wanted to learn. Certain things bored me to tears, like traditional schooling. But indirect response, for whatever reason, the whole psychology thing just really inspired me and fascinated human behavior. Why do people take action? Why do they not take action? And so creating an irresistible offer is one of the, you know, critical elements. And I learned this in that first direct mail company all the way back in the late 80s. And like when I started my first company, our lead offer, and I've got iterations of this today with what our company actually does. But it went like if you were the health club owner, Justin, imagine I come to you and I go, Justin, let me ask you, if I could guarantee you that we would help you as a health club owner generate, you know, 200 to 300 clients in the next 90 days or less, and it won't cost you anything up front, and my company will actually take the risk. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to run direct mail and we're going to foot the bill. We're going to run TV ads and we're going to foot the bill, and we're going to run radio ads and we're going to foot the bill, take the risk. And then when we generate those clients and members, then when there's a profit, we'll split that profit together 50-50. Would you be open to that?
Yeah. I mean, right? It's a no-brainer.
Exactly. Now, then there's other details that go along, but that's a door opener and it's an irresistible offer. And what we did when we made that offer all the way back in 92, we found that out of 10 clients we presented it to, 7 would be open. And then what we did, so that one of the first steps is irresistible offer, then the next one is client selection, right? Because I can say this, I'm the king of making the mistake of wanting to help everybody. I'm the king of struggling with, oh my gosh, I just want to be this savior and go out of whether they were a right fit, could afford me, all of these different things. And so, but I learned it early. I just haven't always applied it. Truth.
Yeah, I haven't either. I'm the same way.
Right. So, but client selection being important and a critical piece after the irresistible offer. So out of the 10 that we would present to, 7 would say, I'd be open to learning more. And out of the 7 that said yes, we would then narrow down to about 3 that would be our ideal kind of candidate or qualified candidate. And of the 3, we would have the ability, if we wanted to enroll 2 out of the 3, right, that fit pretty systematically, right? So as you're listening, like, how does this apply to you? Well, one, is the message, right? The quality of your message will dictate the quality of what you can ask and also what you can provide. Number two is how can you go out and create an irresistible offer that makes it, as my buddy Dean Graziosi says, so low the goats can eat it. It's easy to understand. It's impossible, as Joel Weldon says, it's impossible to be misunderstood. And essentially, you're eliminating friction. It becomes friction-free. I think that was a Gary Halbert quote. It's friction-free. And then you are very clear on your client selection. Like, who is your tribe? Who is your ideal client? They can afford you. They, and this follows Dan Sullivan's opportunity filter, which is they can afford you, they appreciate you, they enhance you, they refer you, and they use you, right? Mm-hmm. And here's why that's important. Early in my career, one of the biggest mistakes I also made, Justin, was probably looking at things more transactional. You know, I evaluated if I, you know, put X time in, it would give me Y money. And that was my sole decision-making criteria, right?
Yeah, the quantitative side of it.
Exactly, right? Whereas this other side that Dan Sullivan teaches in at Strategic Coach and his opportunity filter that I love, and really have come to use as a filter for most decisions I make of what I do, what I don't do. And I've heard that it served a lot of people that we've shared it with. I know that Dan shared it with as well. Is, you know, imagine having clients who were really aligned side by side with you, right? Imagine that when you came together, both of you appreciated in the relationship. In other words, the relationship grew. Imagine that they had gratitude in the relationship, which is part of appreciation. Imagine that you both enhanced each other in the relationship. So it wasn't one side giving and one side taking. It was truly equally yoked, enhancing each other. Imagine that both of you really ate each other's dog food, to keep it simple, right? You believed in each other's products, you used it. And then the other side of it is you referred each other to each other, whether you were incentivized financially or not. It was just organically, it felt right. One of the greatest examples I've seen of this is Dan Sullivan with Joe and Genius Network. There's no financial incentive for Dan. There's no affiliate payout to Dan, but he feels that his business has appreciated, has been enhanced. He utilizes the community, and he's been the top referrer in Genius Network, having referred over 100 members to the group over the last several, 7-8 years, whatever it's been. So imagine what would happen for your business as you're listening right now if you could build a criteria of your ideal client. Maybe it's this opportunity filter, but maybe it's something else. That the financial reward, of course, was there. Is that juice worth the squeeze? But also the other criteria, the strategic byproducts. What would happen for you in your business? And I know for me, that's been transformational. It's the difference between transactional or linear growth, Justin, and transformational growth. And it also, you know, adds a greater, deeper peace of mind and freedom as well, because it gives you a little bit more power when you can charge more, which is what this method and model allows you to do. When you can charge more, it allows you power and leverage to say no to the wrong fit clients or the people that don't meet that client's selection process.
Yeah, either. I mean, I could see, just thinking back on our growth in our company, the good and the bad relationships and where everything clicked, everything aligned, you know, clients that have stuck with us for the last 2+ years versus the ones that are like, you know, screaming at you after month one.
Right, yeah.
You know, it makes it a whole lot easier when you're all aligned.
It's so funny. It's counterintuitive in a lot of ways, isn't it?
Like, oh, it is.
I remember one of my early mentors when I was in my early 20s. He says, never forget this quote. And the quote was, and I don't know who he quoted. I don't think he invented it, but it was, he said, work where you're deserved, not where you're needed. Now, there's all kinds of layers of this, but in the business context of work where you're deserved, not where you're needed, it comes down in my mind as I, you know, as we're kind of opening this door here with client selection, is, you know, focus on the clients who really, you know, do fit all of the criteria. And ideally, you know, selfishly, put yourself in a position that you decide, like, what are you worth as a business, right? And be willing to say no, because it does create a certain level of freedom to do more of the things that you deserve to do and want to do in growing and scaling the company.
Yeah. And I mean, another point of that too, is so many people chase the dollars. They just see dollar signs all the time and they're like, well, we'll just take it on. You know, it's not an ideal fit, but oh, we need the money. But there's something really gratifying about saying no to that person. And what I've found is it really opens the doors to many more that are actually the right fit.
Totally. And again, that's counterintuitive too, right? Right. Yeah, 'cause we go, oh, I got to pay this, or I got to cover payroll, or what, you know, whatever we might come up with. And I have found it probably like you just said, I think you said it really well, which is when I have had the confidence or certainty to say no to a wrong fit, it literally has opened the door. And I don't know if you know why it happens that way, except maybe it creates space for us. It's like that old adage, you know, when you clean out a closet or purge the, you know, the tree, if you will, is it opens the ability for new things to actually come in and also grow. And I've seen that time and time again. And like, it's just interesting how that works. And not only for my businesses, but seeing it for a lot of the clients we've worked with too, overall. You
know. Yeah, for sure. So you talk about the number one method to creating, you know, high profit. And I know you're a big proponent about, you know, burnout and, you know, balance and all of those things. You know, what is the number one method to really create that leverage and that high growth?
Yeah, I would say it's a predictable system to generate qualified leads, right? So that's the number one. Now, there's a series of things to be able to do that. One is positioning, right? Yourself as like the unique and only choice, or, you know, what some have referred as the category of one, right? Yeah. The next part of that is, you know, having a predictable model that sends leads to you. Like, because how many businesses, and I know you're a genius at this too, is how many times do we meet clients who are successful, right, in their own right, and they're profitable in their own right, but it's all based on their personal charm, right? Yeah. It's all based on their personal grit. It's all based on their personal hustle. And you know what? Because of being on that side of burnout that you kind of alluded to, we may or may not have time to go into that story, but the short version, and having been there and having burnt out so far that I was in a hospital for 4 days needing a heart procedure and having to sign a disclaimer when having this procedure done that said I had a one in X chance of dying on the table, it was a wake-up call that there has to be a better way,
yeah, right?
A way to systematically have a model that creates leads, whether I'm involved in the process or not. That's really the key, to put yourself in a position where you can speak to large groups of people, qualified people at one time, you know, put yourself in a position where you're able to do take the effort one time and it's still working for you over and over again, right? So having a model, you know, like that. And, you know, part of that model, I think, you know, I've seen some of your work as well, which people are confused because they're trying to be too many things to too many people. Most businesses, and I don't know if you would agree, because we, you know, we're just doing this in conversation, so I'm taking a chance here. But too many times it seems like, you know, people are like trying to do what I'll refer to as a forced ascension model.
Mm-hmm.
Versus what I would call a more organic, natural progressive model. So you can choose to do a forced ascension model, which is going to be, I mean, just from experience, you know, at my peak, I had some basic education courses in the, you know, $27 to $47 range, and we had about 1,000 to 2,000 of those a week in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a lot of customer service. By the way, to support that. Well, but so if you do the quick math on, I know you had Vinny Fisher on a handful of weeks ago, and Vinny's talking about, you know, the math side of the business. Well, let's just call it a $50 product, right? And they were, you know, less than that, but just for math, 2000, well, $50 times 2000 is pretty easy, right? That's what, $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could take what I've heard Brian Tracy talk about, which is Ockman's Razor, is a shortest distance is, you know, the straight line. What if you got one client that just paid you $100,000? Whole lot less customer service around that. Now you got to be on your game. You got to deliver a transformational value that's worth at least $1 million, right? 10 times value if you're playing the game right. But which would you rather have? And I'm not saying which is right or wrong, but here's the key. Most of us could simplify our business model, the second piece here, by having like a core offer, right? That is our linchpin to what we do, that then leads to a profit optimizer or maximizer. We'll call that our back end. And mm-hmm. if you focused on being profitable with just those two pieces in the beginning, and you can be profitable and have a systematic, predictable method and lead system that works when you're without your involvement, right? Well, then you can have sustainable scaling growth, have more of a healthy business, go from burnout to a huge breakthrough. You know, we installed this in one client's business here not too long ago, you know, and this person, this company is like epic. They're known in the industry as the absolute best in a particular niche. But it was based on many ways, the owner, his charm, his panache, his connections, super connections, just being an amazing human being, a value creator in the world. And we installed this model piece and we helped create it where leads and applicants for his particular company came in without him. And it now has grown where that's systematic, where he's, imagine if you were this person who primarily built this whole company, a multi-million dollar business on your personal grit and hustle. And then you had a model like we're talking about installed, that whether he did anything or not, it was creating over 1,000 candidates a year, right? For a high-end program and service.
Yeah, I see that too. I position it as kind of, think of it as is it a saleable asset?
Right.
You know, because if you take, say, me out of the equation in our company, the company will still run.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, if you added that and if it was just having to be me going out there hustling every day, you know, right. it's not scalable. It's not, I mean, and then that's where the burnout leads to too.
Exactly. And so that's the second part of the three key parts. So there's the, you know, positioning, you know, being unique, as you know, some call it the category one. Then the second piece is the model piece or the method. And then the third is the method for the actual client acquisition. And my favorite method is actually speaking to a live human being, believe it or not. I know most people are like trying to automate everything and do all their sales online, but I have found that like the simplest model, actually, even though it may not sound simple, is create a lead that's qualified for a higher profile program, higher price type program, and then actually have an application and then drive that, you know, situation to a conversation.
Yeah.
And share the value, find out if there's a mutual interest. So it's client acquisition. You know, you can look at that as enrollment, perhaps a little bit of selling, perhaps a little bit of closing. At one of my companies, Justin, we had over 100 reps handling the lead model that we had built for client acquisition. And of course, when you have that many people, you have some people that are not very good. You have some people who are really good. But today, more than ever, we can automate a lot of this where you can build a, you know, 8-figure, even pushing up a high 8-figure to a 9-figure business, literally with a handful of people handling the client acquisition effectively. And again, I know you actually teach a lot of this and work with a lot of this in your own programs too. So the one method is, you know, essentially a client acquisition system. You know, part one, unique, category one, part two, the model, and part three is the client acquisition method.
But the funny thing is that's where almost everybody struggles.
Yes. Yep.
You know, I see this too. And going back to your simplification comment, was I spoke at a mastermind not too terribly long ago and did some one-on-one sessions to help out a friend. And one of the ladies was like, oh yeah, I've got this great business. I'm doing all this. My customer value is high. I've got, you know, I'm growing like crazy. And then she's like, I need to get an online funnel. I need to add this and this and this and try to automate. I'm like, why?
Right.
You're overcomplicating the whole thing. I said, just add a zero onto one package and then you're going to get, you know, 1-3% of the people to upgrade to that. And I said, now you've doubled your business. I
yes.
said, it's not that hard and you're just overcomplicating it trying to automate. You know,
yeah, it's so amazing, right? And so simple. I mean, like that wisdom right there, I mean, is worth, could be worth to someone that's listening to your show right now, easy 6, 7, 8 figures if they like really take it to heart. You know, you just reminded me, like, because I know you with what you do with Conversion Fanatics, you probably have a lot of people who are really good and effective at actually creating conversions online. Would it be all right if I share a strategy that could help them add that zero?
Absolutely.
So if you're generating business online already, which you probably are because you're following Justin, imagine being able to, first of all, put yourself in the customer's shoes. And let's say you're the customer and you've ordered something online, probably in the last 48 hours, but mm-hmm. let's just say it's been in the last year. Of the things you've purchased in the last year, how many of them followed suit by actually phoning you to congratulate you on that being a great choice? Think about that.
I actually teach this a lot and I mention this a lot, so I know it's very slim.
Yes. And so imagine, right, that you are the one. So talk about category one. So you become the category one just by doing what most companies don't do, and Justin's teaching you, and you do a confirmation call, and then you make a soft offer in that call. It's not a sales call, but it just, you're making an offer. And if they take it, great. If they don't take it, you don't try to overcome the objection. You just move on, right? Mm-hmm. But imagine doing a confirmation call, and then you make a soft offer for a product in a couple $100 range as an add-on. Well, here are some of the numbers. I've installed this in a lot of different companies, Justin, probably like you have as well, and you probably already know where I'm going. But we have found in our work with clients, and I guess to a degree, it's kind of a limited body of work, but it's also been a pretty broad range. One of our good friends, if I mention their name, we have NDAs, but so I won't. But they were generating over 1,000 online sales for like a $47 to $197 program, education program. And I brought this to them. We installed it in their company. What they explained to me is they averaged, of every 10 people that bought, 3 people out of 10 would go ahead and take the add-on. And it was adding somewhere near $50,000 extra revenue. And what they said is their sell-throughs to their next bigger things were higher because it set the preparation for the next thing done the right way with the confirmation. And so as you're listening right now, imagine what would happen for you. We call this the PLM method, the predictable leverage method, predictable leverage multiplier method. So you do a confirmation call, congratulations on getting started. Just want to confirm your details. You confirm their address, confirm their email address, you confirm their order, you confirm, you know, if it's being shipped or not, how they go ahead and start consuming that particular product. Then you transition and go, I'd love to run an idea by you. If it works for you, great. If not, no problem. Then you go into a very soft offer, a couple $100, then offer a drop, like a split pay option. And in some cases, it may make sense to even offer a trial for a small fee up front and then, you know, a 14-day to 30-day trial. And you will find probably what maybe Justin and I have shared with you with this method is that you will likely find that out of 3 out of 10 people you talk to, now you won't talk to your whole universe of clients because you'll get a lot of voicemails and stuff, but if you leave a good voicemail, they'll actually call you back. It becomes more like an inbound call anyway. But of the people you talk to, you will enroll somewhere between 3 and 4 out of 10, and it will just be an added revenue piece for you, and you'll solidify the sales. You'll likely increase stick, you'll increase retention, and set the stage for the next thing in your process.
Yeah, we implemented something similar at my former company. We would call every customer. It cost us about $1 to call every customer.
Yep.
And we cut our refunds in half.
Yep.
And cut our chargebacks by 30%.
Isn't that amazing?
Just one, and it wasn't, we didn't even do the soft sell component. We just said, thanks.
Yep.
And that was pretty much it. Make sure they got access to what it is they purchased. And that was it.
Yeah, I mean, it's magical to a degree. Like, this little thing is another, like, and for your company, what would you, in the savings and chargebacks and the refund rate, what would you estimate that was of value to you in a year?
Ballpark. Oh, hundreds of thousands.
So if you're not interested in that, just don't try this at all. But if you are interested in not only increasing your retention stick, decreasing refunds, decreasing chargebacks, and trying the soft offer approach, don't be shocked if it doubles, triples, quadruples that.
Yeah. And it's
but
cheap
if you're not
to
interested,
implement.
Don't do anything.
That's it. So that's absolutely awesome. So we're way long on time right now, but I don't care. I want to ask you one more question. And what are your
Only
predictions?
One more. No.
Yeah, one more, and then we'll get into how to contact you and all that fun stuff. But what are your predictions for digital marketing in the next year?
Digital marketing won't exist in a year. No, I'm kidding, obviously.
That was out of left field. I've never heard that one before.
But. Yeah, I like to do that once in a while. If you're listening right now, I predict that if you're not using it, you're going to get crushed. No, in all seriousness, what I predict in digital marketing is at the end of the day, there's a lot of people falling in love with tactics. And there are a lot of tactics out there. What I want to challenge you is you look at where digital technology goes, digital marketing goes. Look at the strategy, right? And here's how I feel, Justin, about the strategy side of it. You know, a lot of people talk, you know, B2B, B2C, and I actually don't believe in either. I believe it's P2P. It's person to person.
I am 100% in alignment with you on that.
Yep. And it's belly to belly. So how can you create an experience? So as most people are going to, you know, transactional, tactical, digital, transactional methods, how can you create an experience to bond? How can you create an experience to connect? How can you, you know, like a phone call? Here's a great example. And it answers the question, but it also gives you a 40-degree view of how to think from this perspective of leveraging digital marketing, connecting with more people, bonding with more people, you know, which expands your universe. It gives you the ability to have a bigger impact, a bigger reach and contribution. So years ago, early on, I was fortunate someone recommended I read the book, read a book by a guy named Joe Girard, who was at that time, he was the number one car salesman in the world. He had Guinness Book of Records. I'm going to get these numbers a little off.
I've read the book.
Do your own research. But as I recall, Joe Girard, in about a 6-year window, Justin, and correct me if I'm a little off on this, but it's my understanding that he sold personally approximately 16,000 cars in 6 years or 7 years.
I think it was, it was 15 or 16,000. Yeah.
Yep. And it was an average of about 5.3 cars a day with no fleet sales, by which means group sales. It was all individual car sales. And somebody interviewed him and asked him, he said, Joe, what is the number one method that's allowed you to grow your business? Now, by the way, would all of you, as you're listening right now, like to know what that number one method is? And I'm going to assume that that's probably yes, right? But it's so simple. And again, it comes back to the little, like the phone call that Justin's already teaching you to do to confirm an order and congratulate them and welcome them, right? Creates a unique experience that they're not getting in most places, if anywhere else. This method, Joe Girard's method that's stuck with me for all these years, is one of those methods. It's simple. But most people get caught up in like all kinds of fancy tactics and digital this and digital that and automate that. And that's all great. But when you start to integrate these things, it's magical what can happen. And so here's the single method that Joe Girard said was his number one method for selling that amount of cars. Once a month, he would simply send his clients a thank you card, right? That was different a little bit each month, but essentially it was acknowledging them as a client and past client. And also he would sign off on the PS and say, you're awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it allowed him to generate more personal sales, get more referrals, have higher retention. It collapsed time frames because imagine like if you were to send out, as you're listening right now, a card of some kind. Now, it doesn't have to be a thank you card every month because that would be a little weird probably. But one month it's a thank you card. Another month it's a Valentine's card for February. January it's a New Year's resolution card. March it was spring's coming. April it was related to growth, springtime, maybe around Easter if you're into that sort of thing. As you get into summer, it's summer break. As you get into June, you get into Father's Day, you get into Mother's Day. I mean, there's all these different things that you could send little cards to acknowledge people and just stay front of mind to them 12 times a year, right? Or even 6 times a year, or even 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. But do something that is unique compared to your comp. I mean, because if you're doing a call and you would do even 4 times a year, quarterly card, when people are thinking of the thing that you offer, where are they going to go first in most cases? The problem is most of the time out of sight, out of mind. And what happens? I mean, think about when you had to make a choice, you know, maybe you wanted to get your house clean, or maybe you wanted to get the windows clean, or maybe you wanted to get the, get the car windshield fixed. If you didn't have somebody that you had a bond and relationship with, what'd you do? You looked it up on Google, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, imagine if you had been the person being front of mind to them. Now, they still may go look it up on Google, but they're thinking of you going, oh, what was the name of the guy who sends me that card every quarter?
Yep.
Right? What would that do for your business? So anyway, where do I predict the joy? It's giving us ways, Justin, to do things at an unbelievable rate of speed. It's also creating more complexity. But I would look at it from a strategy point of view of not necessarily, and yeah, you can leverage tactics and you can learn those kind of tricks, but focus on the strategy of how can you connect? How can you bond? How can you build a long-term relationship with your clients or future clients, you know, overall?
Yeah. I mean, we're all social these days, and it's
yes.
Very transparent, and it's not, I mean, I found in the 15 years that I've been doing this that the mediums just change. The principles stay the same.
That's right.
So yep. That's all we got, folks. I know that's a lot of information, and I really, really appreciate Dan for being on here. So how can folks connect with you, Dan?
Yeah, if you want to reach out, number one, we do rotate an education-based program about every month or so. So if you want to go deeper with us, learn more about the tools of how we help people, business owners, implement, grow, and scale, you can go to Champion. Businessblueprint.com. That's championbusinessblueprint.com to see our most relevant up-to-date version. Championbusinessblueprint.com. If you want to get access, like Justin, to hundreds of hours of insight, wisdom, strategy, in a cool way with our radio show and podcast, you can do that at growthtofreedom.com. That's growthtofreedom.com. And that would be it.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll have all of that in the show notes, so everybody will have links over to all that information. So be sure to check out Dan and all the amazing things that he has to offer, because it's a lot, and he can do some amazing things for your business. If you want to engage with him, feel free to do so. So that's all we got. Thanks again for joining us. If you liked this episode as much as I did, be sure to rate it, share it, and like it, and let other people experience it in your network as well. And we'll talk to you again on another episode. Thanks, and make it a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to the CMO Roundtable. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate us, subscribe, and give us a share. For more information about how you can accelerate your marketing results and to request your in-depth conversion analysis, visit conversionfanatics.com.